Each and every day, we see on TV, or we listen to the radio, or we drive down the freeway, and we see all the billboards and things, and they tell us about all the things that the world has to offer. Each of us certainly understands that we're certainly blessed in life. In this life, as God's children, just like others in life, we are offered the things of this world. And in this country, we are blessed with so much. Sometimes I think sometimes we're blessed with really too much. But even though you and I live in the world here, and even though we are blessed to live in a country like we have, we are encouraged to rise above this old world. But sometimes it seems to be a challenge to so many because our visions are clouded by the glitter of the world. In our Wednesday evening Bible class this past week, we talked about how important the Bible has to be to us. The Bible is our assurance of consistency. Consistency through the inspired, through the God-breathed words and instructions that come from the throne of grace in heaven. This is where our lesson begins, with the scripture that Brother Trevor read this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. Let me read and remind us once again. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. We talked this past Wednesday evening about sometimes we truly need to appreciate how blessed we are in the Lord, but perhaps sometimes we fail to see that. And we fail to rejoice, brethren. We fail to really separate and see how wonderfully blessed we are. We fail to have that joy in our hearts as we are the Lord's children. We are encouraged throughout the scriptures to recognize how blessed we are and how we need to rejoice. Paul exhorted us as he exhorted those in Philippi. And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Finally, brethren, he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Paul said to those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, he said, "Rejoice always." Paul talks about the dedicated service of Christians and how this service, how this working should bring to our hearts that feeling of rejoicing. I want you to listen again to the Apostle Paul's words as he wrote to those in Rome. Turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12 this morning. Romans chapter 12. There we will begin in verse 4 and read through verse 21. Paul writes, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What is it here that the apostle is trying to teach those in Rome who had obeyed the gospel? What did he tell them that they surely needed to do? He said, rejoice. Paul said the mercy of God and the promise of God had been given to them, and they should rejoice. But brethren, sometimes this is where we stumble. We don't listen to that rejoicing of the scriptures. The scriptures collected into this book that we call the Bible is full of rejoicing and joy. My friends, it's only when we study it in detail that we will be able to really discover all the joy that we can find in the New Testament scriptures. In the New Testament, the word rejoice is recorded there 72 times. And the word joy occurs another 60 times. So the New Testament is just chock full of joy and rejoicing. I believe this is one of the great misconceptions of the world, because they believe that if you're going to be a Christian and if you're going to serve God, then you've got to give up all that. That's what we learn, though, is wrong, because the Lord tells us that we need to have joy and rejoice. The world believes that self-denial, unselfishness, obedience to God that is described in the scriptures is equivalent to unhappiness in this earthly life. Is that what you and I hear from God? Are we told to give up on rejoicing and having joy? Or do we, when we listen, recognize the great happiness that we should have when we love the Lord? All of our verses thus far this morning commands us as Christians to be rejoicing in life. And for the Christian, that includes rejoicing in the hope that we have for the promises of eternal life. Friends, God's command to you and I is to be happy. Far from commanding Christians to be stoic and devoted, God actually commands his people to be happy. He says in Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. He says in Psalms 32, verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. He says in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, enjoy life with the woman whom you love. He says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, rejoice in the wife of your youth. God threatens terrible things to those who will not delight and trust in him. I want you to listen now, as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. He says, for even though we knew God, they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, when we take our eyes off of God, when we fail to recognize the blessings that we have in God, friends, all that's left is this old life. God expects you and I to be happy, and we must have the attitude that empties our thankfulness and our rejoicing in our prayers and supplications to the Lord. And it's demonstrated in the actions and the choices that we make in life. But this old world, who does not know God, is hesitant to be as happy as you and I. I believe there are people who are cautious about rejoicing because they feel that this is a time that we need to be worried about everything. And certainly you and I have been faced with a lot of this during this last 2 years. But friends, we need to have trust and faith in God. So many times, Jesus expressed this to his disciples. He used to say to them, O ye of little faith. In Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 16, and in Luke chapter 12, Jesus was constantly faced with his disciples allowing their desires of life to challenge their faithfulness in God. The Bible commands us to rejoice in all things that are good. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, and beginning in verse 4, we read, love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Now let's stop just for a moment there. Do you hear sorrow in these words that Paul shares? Do you hear sadness and despair with the Apostle Paul's words? Or do you hear the joy that should be in the hearts of the people of the Lord who rejoice with the Lord? Paul also said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. He says in 2 John, verse 4, There the apostle of the Lord Jesus said, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received the commandment to do from our Father. And then he went on to say in 3 John verse 3, For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you're walking in the truth. The attitude here is not, don't rejoice unless there's something bad might happen to you, but rather the attitude is, make the most of the joyful times that we have as we follow the Lord and listen to His word. Are these times that you and I are blessed with the Lord's word and we can say we need to rejoice? Brethren, a failure to rejoice in the blessings that we are given is a failure to be thankful. Perhaps what we need to do is ask ourselves, why do we lack that desire? Some people might say they can't live the Christian life because they just have too many desires. We need to remember that God created us in His image. He created us with a desire for love, for happiness, for fulfillment, and for friendship. These things are not evil desires, but rather they are desires that God created within us. If we consider the overwhelming promises of the reward that He promises, it is absolutely staggering to consider that in the face of all the things that you and I are blessed with. Perhaps our desires are not rooted in the Lord and our Savior. Perhaps we're not grounded enough in God, our Father. Perhaps our desires simply aren't growing. I want you to listen again now to the Savior's words as He said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Paul says as well in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. And the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We are such half-hearted creatures sometimes, fooling around with the things of this world when the infinite joy of heaven is offered to us. It's kind of like for us when we don't recognize how blessed we are. We're like a child who wants to go on making mud pies in the dirt because he can't even imagine what it would mean to sit at a table with a beautiful piece of pie. We need to realize that this old world is far too easily pleased. As Jesus expressed it to the Christians in Laodicea, because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Or perhaps it's like when Moses warned his contemporaries when he said, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies. So what is man's problem? Man's problem sometimes is he has a lack of passion for God, a lack of desire to obtain the inexpressible and to understand the wonderful joys that God wants to give to us. Without God, there cannot be any lasting happiness and reason for rejoicing. My friends, maybe this old world is just selling out for the cheap price and the glitter that we see. Our problem is not having too much desire, but perhaps it's allowing us to recognize and to think that the counterfeits of this old world are greater than the joys of the Lord. The devil tries to convince us to seek and find happiness in earthly things, to find happiness in the finding it in the passing pleasures of sin. Here's perhaps a story that I might share. When the prosperous man, on a dark but starlit night, drives comfortably in his carriage and has lanterns on the sides lighted, then he feels safe and he fears no difficulty. He carries his light with him and it's not dark there around him. But precisely because he has that lantern lit and has a strong light completely surrounding him is precisely the reason why he cannot see the stars above. For his self-made lights obscure the stars, which the poor who are driving without lights can see the gloriousness in the dark lit sky above. The thought of this example is, perhaps those who are deceived by life, to live with the temporal things of life, perhaps these occupy all their ideas for the necessities of life. They're just too busy in their prosperity. They're just too busy in the good days that they have to truly see how wonderfully they are blessed. It's like those lanterns lit. It's like the lights that are close by. Everything seems so bright, but the view is lacking for the opportunities and the blessings and the view of the stars. In this story, the view of the stars, it should help us to understand the enjoyment and the happiness that God wants to give mankind. God truly wants us to enjoy the things of this life that he provides. But the mistake of most people is that we focus on what we think is okay, and we focus truly on what is here and now. Isn't that what we're taught from the scriptures to be careful about? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 23, it says, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So it is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life, as to what you will eat, nor for your body, as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing." My friends, the simplicity of it is God must be our desire. The psalmist says in Psalms chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." Just consider the desire and intensity of this particular scripture. Friends, God is more glorified when I am most satisfied and filled with him. Shouldn't God really be the search of all mankind's happiness? Have you ever considered how does one desire God? Nothing seems reasonable to me more than the fact that lasting happiness will never be found for a person if he ignores the happiness that is provided by his Creator. I am constantly in this life astonished at people who say they believe in God, but they live their lives only giving just a fraction of their thoughts to him. Desiring God, as with anything, doesn't just happen. Desiring God only comes when you not only think about him, not only when you consider him, not only when you drive yourself to listen to his words so that you might understand him, but that you study to find out more and more about the true joys that we have in the Lord. Consider this. God was truly the creator of this beautiful world that we live in. He created it with all the blessings that you and I know. If you consider that, doesn't it simply stand to reason that God himself must be even more wonderful and must be even more beautiful than what you and I see and know in this life? Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer." My friends, behind every object of beauty in this universe, behind every wonder of any awesome sight that we may see, it is God that we need to rejoice in, because God is more majestic and amazing than all. If you love what God has made, then friends, you will certainly love God who made it. Every blessing comes from God, and these blessings are what contributes to our happiness. Therefore, having a relationship with the giver of life, of all the blessings, must be the greatest relationship of all. I want you to listen to the writer James when he says in James chapter 1, verse 18, "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be the kind of first fruits among his creatures." If you enjoy the things that God has command over, if you feel good when you help others and serve them, then won't we enjoy an eternity with God who has taught us how to use these blessings of life? You feel good, don't you, when you do the right thing? When you're honest about all the consequences of the life that you may face? When you're faithful and face tempting consequences of life? How good do you feel when you listen to God's word and He tells you how to overcome? I want you to listen this morning to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. There we learn, this is the message that we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. How can we not love God, who is so willing to forgive and help us overcome the trials and the temptations of life? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friends, many people have reached the point in their lives where they realize the lasting happiness is not found in earthly things. It's not found in earthly goals. It's not found it's not found in the possessions or the things of this old life. It's not even found in our accomplishments here in life. Solomon warned in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 11. He said, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done, and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. We must all learn that lasting happiness can only be found in a relationship with our Creator. The wise men said in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26, for who can eat and who can enjoy apart from Him? My friends, when you and I trust in God, there lies the power of happiness. If God is the main object of our desires, then this will do wonderful things for our lives. Again, we go back to some of the verses that we talked about as Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Our worship, friends, will be transformed. When God is our chief desire, we will truly worship Him with our desire to learn of Him. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Our study of His divine revelation for mankind will strengthen our resolve. No longer will we study as mere duty, but we will cherish the words that God gives us. How sweet are His words, the psalmist says, to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Sharing His word will come naturally because we will praise and adorn Him without any embarrassment at all. That's what we studied about this past Wednesday. How important it is to preach and teach the good news. And friends, it will cause us to be stronger. It will cause us to be able to endure whatever trial or temptation that we might face. We will have that enthusiasm of heart, the same that we read about that Nehemiah wrote in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, where he said, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There is no other way to triumph over sin without recognizing God. God remains for Christians all satisfying. But unfortunately, for the world and for us, we face the powerful and destructive things of this old world each day. My friends, the battle remains. Where will we drink? Where and what will we feast upon? When we understand this and what the devil offers in the way of happiness in this life, when we recognize how inferior, how so temporary and cheap and worthless that is, we will choose the life-saving grace of our Father who has loved us, and we will rejoice and be happy. When we truly understand the great love that God has given for us, then we will not be tempted so easily to trade that wonderful happiness that we have in God for a cheap worldly imitation. And you know what? When we understand the love of God, and brethren, we will rejoice in the Lord. Jesus simply says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you haven't been obedient to the gospel, but you recognize how important Jesus is and the blessings that God gave through his Son, if you believe that he is the Christ, the promised Messiah, and you're willing to repent, confess, and be buried with him in baptism, your opportunity perhaps is this morning, where you might recognize the opportunity that you have to be obedient to the gospel call. If you believe and you're willing to repent, confess, and be buried with him in baptism, guess what is yours? Something that you can rejoice about. That your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That your sins will be washed away. And that your life is simply our pilgrimage. Because this old world is not our home. Our home is not here. Our home is, when you look around, you see the blessings. Friends, it pales in comparison to the glory of heaven. And that's our promises. Where are you this morning in your relationship with the Lord? If you've been obedient to the gospel, but along the way of life, those litters of life have kind of pulled you in, and you've stumbled along the way, have faith in the covenant relationship that you have with God. And go to him and ask him for forgiveness. But if you feel you've wronged him and you're concerned about yourself, then we have an admonition as brothers and sisters to pray for one another. As James tells us, to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another that we may be healed. My friends, the joy and happiness of this morning is God has provided for all. Will you respond and reach out? I pray you consider. Let us stand and sing our song.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I but the blood of Jesus. I'm not a good that I have done,
nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated.